Meruchim and Imsaim, ladies. B'Siman Tov, we are beginning Sefer Shemot, Parashat Shemot. Our parasha, we are introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. For the first time in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned explicitly. And we're also told that Moshe Rabbeinu received his first prophecy at the burning bush. Thank you, Rika. And at the burning bush, the Sene, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he's going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu asks God, they're going to ask me what your name is. What should I tell them? So God says, tell them the God that's called Ehyeh sent you, and tell them also that the purpose of leaving Egypt is that they're going to come back to this exact spot, which was Har Sinai, that's where the burning bush was. And tell them, Ta'avdun et Ta'eluhim, they're going to serve God, Allah Harazeh. They're going to come back to this mountain to serve God. That means the purpose of Yisrael Mitzrayim is to receive the Torah. Then Borei Olam says to Moshe, Ko Amar, Ko Tomar Bnei Yisrael, this is what you should tell the people, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, God of your fathers, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, Shelachani Alechem, has sent me. This is the part that I came to discuss today, which to me is the most difficult part. God tells Moshe, tell the people, Ze Shemi Le'olam, this is my name, forever. V'zeh zikri l'dor dor. And this is my remembrance for every generation. I have no idea what this is talking about. I understand everything else. Tell them that we're leaving Egypt. Tell them that my name is Ekiyeh. Tell them that they're going to come back to this mountain to serve me. Everything makes sense. Tell them I'm the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But then at the end he says, and tell them, Zeh Shemi Le'olam, this is my name forever. Vezeh Zichri, and this is my remembrance, Lidor Vador, or Lidor Dor, for generations. In order to understand these Pesukim, you need to hear some introductions, that I think the introductions are very important on their own right. We all know that we are part of a religion that binds us in the fulfillment of mitzvot. Literally, mitzvot are commandments. And the Torah tells us specifically there are 613 commandments. They call them taryag mitzvot. And we know exactly there are 365 do nots, don'ts. We call them lo ta'aseh. And 248 positive commandments. They're broken down exactly in that system. 365 and 248, which equals 613. What is the purpose of the mitzvot? Of course, to fulfill them. A king gives commandments to his subjects. So God is a king and we're his subjects, so he gives us orders. But there's more than that. God is kadosh, God is holy, God is great, God is very far from us, and we are very low. How is it possible that a Jew could connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? You need a link, you need a conduit, you need something that can connect us, you need a buffer. The 613 mitzvot connect us to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody says, I want to feel connected to God, you will not feel connected to God only through observance of mitzvot. The mitzvot bring the light of Hashem down to us, and it reaches us. There's no other way. Somebody will say to you, I feel God when I go and I make yoga. This is synthetic. You cannot get close to God by twisting yourself into a pretzel or taking hallucinating drugs. Or doing all these things, even though this person says, I feel very spiritual when I do art. I take a canvas and I just draw pictures all day long, and it's very spiritual to me. I don't know what that means, very spiritual. Unless art is one of the 613 mitzvot, I'm not against art. Nor am I against playing music. I myself play music. But to reach spirituality where the Spirit of God comes on to a person, the only way to do that is mitzvot. And that's why the human body, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is made up of 613 parts. There are 365 ligaments in the human body, and there's 248 limbs. Each time we do a mitzvah, it brings the light of God on that limb. I can't tell you which limb corresponds which mitzvah. I'm sorry. Nor can I tell you which ligament is connected to which mitzvah. But I'm sure great rabbis can. But the purpose of life is to do all the 613 mitzvot, to bring the Spirit of God onto our limbs and our body, and now we're walking with God. More so, the neshama that we also have as part of our body, the spiritual part of our body, also is made up of 613 parts. I know it's not physical. The only way I can explain it to you is if you can imagine that the neshama has 613 lights, bulbs. And every time you do a mitzvah, you turn on a bulb of that neshama. And the goal of life is to turn on as many bulbs as you can in order that the neshama should be completely bright. This is an overview. The reason why we call the commandments mitzvah, you'll say, Rabbi, very simple. The root word of mitzvah is siva. What sever is to command. So it's a commandment. That's what it's about. It's nothing deeper than that. But it's much deeper than that. You see, the only way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the mitzvot. God's name is Yudke Vavke. No coincidence that the last two letters of the word mitzvah is the last two letters of God's name. The last two letters of God's name is Vavheh. And mitzvah is also Vavheh. I only wish that the first two letters of mitzvah would be yutke, then it would be exactly yutke bavke. And then I'd be able to tell you that the mitzvah connects you to God, because the mitzvah itself is related to God. But I'm stuck, because the first two letters of the word mitzvah is mem tzaddi, matz. But I have a way to do that as well. I'm not going to confuse you. People can get confused by this, but it's really not confusing at all. It's going to sound confusing because I'm going to say it very fast. And you say, well, how does the rabbi know it's so fast? It's confusing. But it's not confusing. It's using the system called Atbash. Atbash is very simple. In the Hebrew alphabet, you switch the first letter of the alphabet to the last letter. Wherever you see an Aleph, you do a Taf. And the second letter to the second to the last letter. And the third letter to the third to the last letter. I didn't make up the system. The Zohar talks about the system a lot. It's called Atbash. That's the way we define the system. At is Aleph Taf, Bash is Bet Shin, At, Bash, Gar, Dak, Hatz, Vaf, etc., etc. Zak, Has, Yan, Tan, Yan. I'll explain it to you. I don't care about the whole Atbash system. I just need to get two letters, Mem and Sadi. Take my word. In Atbash system, the Mem corresponds the letter Yud. And the Tzaddi corresponds the letter He. I'll do the He and the Tzaddi because that's easy for you to get. At, Bash, Gar, Dak, Dalit Kof, Hatz. He Tzaddi. So you see the He corresponds the Tzaddi. And if you keep on going, you'll see that the Yud and the Mem are connected as well. So technically mitzvah is really Yudke Vavke. The last two letters are explicit, and the first two letters you need to atbash it, but it's there. And there's reasons why we atbash the first two letters and not the second two letters. There's reasons. There's reasons for everything. And I don't have to tell you the reasons for everything today. But just suffice it to be that a mitzvah and yudke vavke are the same, because they bring you to yudke vavke. It brings you to godliness. It brings you to connection. The problem that we have is you need to fulfill all the 613 mitzvot in order for the neshama to reach its perfection and for the shekhinah to rest on all the limbs of our body. That's why God chose 613. It's a magic number. It's not arbitrary. The problem is, but nobody can fulfill all 613. This is a big, big dilemma. I'm talking about myself now. I did not fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen for the simple reason that my first child was a girl. So finished, the Pidyon HaBen I did not fulfill. So right away, I didn't move yet, and I'm only at 6'12". And most people, I'm going to venture to say in their lifetimes, did not fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum is a mitzvah in the Torah, I'm not denying it, but it's a rare mitzvah. That means Reuven is married to a girl, they don't have children, Reuven dies, Reuven has a brother, the brother has to marry the sister-in-law. I'm not explaining you the Yibum now. But it's very rare for it to happen. So now you're down to 6'11". And so on and so forth. If I don't own a piece of real estate in Israel, I mean a farm, so I can't do Shemitah. And Shemitah has a lot of commandments. So knock out the whole Shemitah section. So now I'm down to less than 600 already. And I didn't even move yet. This is a problem. Because if you're telling me that all the 613 is, you need them all, and the rabbis compare it to a sweater that has 613 stitches. Once you pull one stitch out, the whole sweater comes apart. Because everything is interwoven with each other. So you can't afford to be missing one. I compare it to a doctor that says you need vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D. But you don't have vitamin D. So it's okay, so I'll take four A's. No, four A's doesn't make a D. You need vitamin D. If you don't have it, there's no way you can compensate it unless you have that vitamin. The 613 mitzvot is like a multivitamin for the soul. God says you need one of these, one of these, and one of those, and this one, and that. So you need all of them. But the problem is, most people cannot fulfill all of the mitzvot. Forget about all the mitzvot. They cannot fulfill nearly all of the mitzvot. I'm going to tell you what a great rabbi called Arizal said. Although I didn't come to tell you this, that's not my point of the talk today, but it's worthy to know nonetheless. He says there's a way that God allows a person to fulfill all mitzvot. He calls it Gilgul Neshama or Ibur Neshama. I'll explain to you what that means. Let's say a neshama left this world already, and God looks at the record, and he's missing, 63 mitzvot that for whatever reason he couldn't do. Let's take the case that I gave you, Pidyon. Now there's a father on earth, and he's doing Pidyon that night. God will send that neshama down temporarily into that father, and now he can fulfill that mitzvah through what's called Ibur Neshama. Now that father that's doing the pidyon, he has no idea that there's somebody else in his body. He doesn't. You don't gain weight from Ibur Neshama. You don't look different. Nobody can say, oh, look at him. I think he has an Ibur. It's not discernible. Nobody even knows it's happening. But God brings Neshamot constantly down at different moments when people are doing mitzvot, where other Neshamot as well can benefit. That's why if you look in some of the Sidurim, before a person does a mitzvah, there's a certain Lishem Yehud, it's like a paragraph that they say before they do the mitzvah, and in that preface of the paragraph they say, and I'm doing this mitzvah that it should benefit me and all the neshamot that are connected to me at this time. Because you never know. David HaMelech alluded to this concept in Tehillim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Torat Adonai Temima Meshivat Nafesh, which literally means the Torah of Hashem is complete. But how is the Torah complete? You cannot fulfill all the mitzvot. Meshivat Nafesh. The Nafesh has to come back. It has to return. As the Neshama returns and comes back once or twice, however many times till it reaches the Tikkun, the Meshivat Nafesh, the returning of the soul, brings us to Torah Hashem Temima. Okay, that's one option. Nobody could deny it. However, the books bring down another system, which I can relate to more than this Ibur Neshama. That's I cannot relate to. If you ask me one question, I'll say, I don't know. I don't have an understanding. You need to ask a Kabbalist or somebody that has deeper understanding. But what I'm going to tell you now, I do understand. And that is as follows. The human body, let's say, is made up of many parts. But all the parts of the body are connected. Therefore, if, let's say, somebody's ear is hurting him, so although specifically the ear is bothering him, but his whole body is hurting him now. We don't say, well, the rest of my body feels good, it's only my ear, so I can go to work today. No, if your ear's hurting you, your whole body doesn't function properly because everything is connected. If we can expand this concept that I'm teaching you now, the Jewish nation also, we consider it like one big body. And therefore, if there's unity in Am Yisrael, if Am Yisrael is cohesive, that means you have Ahavat Yisrael, you love Jews. How do you love Jews? You give them benefit of the doubt, you speak good about them, you pray for the welfare of Jews, not only Jews that you know, Jews in Israel, Jews over in the different countries. They send out a report that somebody's sick. You have no idea who this person is. But it's a name. You pray, Sarah Bat Rivka, you say the name. What drives you to do that? Ahavat Yisrael. If a person truly has Ahavat Yisrael, the holy books write, now you're considered one with all of Am Yisrael. Now, whatever they do, it's like you did, and whatever you did, it's like they did. Now you're able to pool your mitzvot together. I come along and say, listen, I need a pidyon. Anybody got a pidyon? Guy in California says, I have a pidyon. He puts it in the middle. Good. What do you need? I need a yibum. Another guy says, here's the yibum. Another guy says, I need a petar hamor. Well, that's another rare mitzvah. Once already you become one with Klal Yisrael, so now all the mitzvot are shared. Because, as an example, if I give tzedakah, which part of my body gets credit for the mitzvah? Yeah, that's a simple way of saying it. My whole body gets credit. I don't give credit to my hand. My hand's part of my body. I say, Hazak Baruch to the hand, good work hand. No, the hand's part of me. It happens to me, I performed it with my hand, but it's connected. So it's connected, the body gets credit. So when you connect yourself to Am Yisrael, through the ways I told you, any mitzvah that they perform, I'm connected to the body, so the whole body gets credit for the mitzvah. That's a great solution. So now you see, ahdut is not something just peace and nice thing and get along with everybody and shalom. Peace is actually one of the greatest tikkunim for the Jewish soul. Because now I pick up a lot of mitzvot that are unavailable for me to do on my own right. That's what the pasuk says. Adonai oz la'amo yiten. Adonai yibarech et amo b'shalom. What does that mean? Adonai oz la'amo yiten. God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. The Torah is called oz. But we have a problem. He gave us this big Torah. Nobody could fulfill the whole Torah. So the end of the pasuk says, you can. Adonai yibarech et amo b'shalom. If there's shalom amongst Klal Yisrael, then it's possible to fulfill all the mitzvot that you're missing, but not so fast. So you're going to ask me, say, hold it, Rabbi. There's certain mitzvot that nobody could fulfill. As an example, you know anybody today bringing korbanot, sacrifices? No, there's no Beit HaMikdash. Most of the book of Vayikra doesn't apply today. All the laws that applied when they used to be Kohanim, giving Bikurim to a Kohen, you have to give your first fruits to a Kohen. Today that mitzvah doesn't apply. It only applies when there's a Beit HaMikdash. And there's literally hundreds of mitzvot like this. I could love B'nai Yisrael and I could have Ahavat Yisrael and all that. But that only gives me mitzvot that are doable. But there are many mitzvot that nobody's doing because it's impossible to do. No Beit HaMikdash. So what do you do with those mitzvot? There's an answer for this as well. The answer is, the holy book's right. If you learn about the mitzvah and you study it, what do you mean study it? You study the laws, you study the literature on that mitzvah, you read about it, you analyze it. God considers the studying as if you did the mitzvah. Every morning, we do Daf Hayomi. We do the daily page of Gemara. Happens to be now we're studying a Gemara that talks about the service of the Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Whenever I study it with the Shi'ur, with the men in the morning, as in this morning, today we were learning about when the Kohen Gadol takes the lottery. He has a box in front of him, and there's two lottery tickets in the box, and he has two goats in front of him. And he sticks his hand in the box. One goat goes on the Mizbeach, that's for God, Lahashem, and one goat is thrown off the mountain. That's called the Saif Azazel. We read that this morning in Daf Hayomi. I always tell them, as a gentleman, none of us are Kohanim Gedolim. None of us can fulfill this mitzvah. As a matter of fact, nobody in this world could ever fulfill this mitzvah of the lottery of the goats. But it's one of the 613 mitzvot. Maimonides says it's an obligation to do this lottery. So that's it. We're out. We'll never fulfill it. So I tell them, no, we're fulfilling it right now. Today for me is Yom Kippur. Because I learned it, we analyzed it, we studied it, we went into the details of it. God says, listen, I don't hold you responsible. You studied it? Chazak Baruch. Today, Rabbi Mansour, you're a Kohen Gadol, but it's not Kippur, doesn't matter. You learned it, I'll make believe it's Kippur today, I'll make believe you're a Kohen Gadol, I'll make believe you're in Jerusalem, I'll make believe you're in the Beit HaMikdash, I'll make believe you took the tickets, you put it on the... So that's why somebody came to me once and told me, Rabbi, what are you teaching them all these things about the Kohen Gadol? It's not practical. But for you it's not practical, for me it's very practical. Because I need this mitzvah. I'm shooting for 613. I want to get a perfect record. So, Ahavat Yisrael. Okay, good. I'm trying. I'm working on my Ahavat Yisrael. But that limits me. It doesn't give me... I could love all the Jewish people, but there's no Kohen Gadol today in the world that's doing the lottery in the Beit HaMikdash. I fulfill that by studying it. Now, that's an important introduction I gave you. There is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. I'm going to tell you the Gemara. It's going to sound very strange, this Gemara, to you. But based on the introduction, you'll understand it wonderfully. There was a goy, a non-Jew. He came to the rabbi called Shammai. He told Shammai, Rabbi, Geyereni al regel ahat. I want you to convert me while I'm standing on one leg. Sounds odd. A one-legged conversion. Shammai has no patience for these people. So Shammai right away took a stick and said, you know, get lost, beat it. Get out of here. What is a one-legged conversion? We're playing hopscotch. He told them to go away. So he went across the street to the yeshiva of Hillel. And he tells Hillel the same thing. Rabbi, gayireni al regel ahat. I want a one-legged conversion. It seems Hillel understood him, and he wasn't nervous from him. He told him, okay, no problem, one-legged conversion. What you don't like people doing to you, don't do to others. There's your one-legged conversion. V'idach, and the rest, zil gemor, go study it. The rest is details. Yeah, go study the rest. Wow, I'm shocked. That's how Hillel gives a conversion? Person comes to become Jewish, you teach him one general rule, just be a nice guy. That's how you become a convert? Bar minan. Even the Reform have higher standards in conversion. Not that their standards are correct, of course. But you have to teach them mitzvot, mikveh, brit milah, there's rules. No, somebody comes to me, Rabbi Mansour, can you convert me, please? I'm in a rush. Oh, you're in a rush? No problem, just be a nice guy. Be a nice guy, be nice to people, say hello to them, be cordial. That's it, yeah, the rest, yeah, here's a book, I'll read the rest, good luck to you. Now I'm Jewish, yeah, that's it. Wow, that's a scandal. And Hillel does it, and the Gemara doesn't have any problems with it. I'm going to explain to you the depth of the Gemara. It seems this goy, if he wanted to convert, he must have known something about Judaism. That's why he wants to convert. He must have done some research. And in his research, he figured correctly that there are 613 mitzvot. And he understood that in order for a person, a Jew, to reach perfection, you need to do all 613. But he also realized that there's no way he could do all 613, like nobody could do 613. So somebody whispered in his ear, yeah, but there's the Arizal. You can keep on coming back. You'll come back at this guy, and then you'll come back at this thing. You'll go, Meshivat Nafesh. You'll come back a few hundred times, and you'll make up all the homework that you didn't do. He doesn't want to do that, because really it's not preferable to have to keep on coming back. You don't want to be interrupted. You don't want to be bothered by every keep to come back. So he went to the rabbi and he said, Gayyadeh, I want to convert to Judaism. Al regel ahat. Ladies, the word regel means a leg, but you know what regel also means? A time. You remember when Bil'am hit his donkey? He hit his donkey three times. So the donkey tells Bil'am, the donkey was talking, hey, lamma zekitani shalosh regalim. Why'd you hit me three times? The word regalim could mean times. So the convert was telling Hillel, listen, I want to convert, but I want to come here once. I don't want to keep on having to come back to make up the mitzvot that I didn't complete. I'm not interested in all that spooky stuff. So Hillel said, oh, then the only way is you're going to have to love Klal Yisrael. You're going to have a tremendous amount of love. What you don't want to do to yourself, don't do to others. If your shalom with the nation is very good, you'll get a lot of extra mitzvot that you yourself could never fulfill. But then Hillel told them, Ve'idach, and the rest of the mitzvot that nobody could fulfill, not you and not anybody else, zil gemor, those you're going to have to go study. Because by studying the mitzvot, you get credit as if you fulfilled. So actually, Hillel wasn't giving him a crackerjack conversion. He was giving him a perfect advice. He was answering him the question that he had. I want to do all the 613. Is there a way? Yes. Ahavat Yisrael, that's the first system. V'idach and the other mitzvot, zil gemor, that's your only options. And I accept it. I accept it. It's a beautiful interpretation. But I'm not satisfied. Because even in this system, you're right, I'm getting credit as if I did all the 613 mitzvot. But you really didn't do them. He did that mitzvah, so I'm sharing and I'm partners with him. And he did that mitzvah, and because I love Klal Yisrael, I get... I want to figure out a system that I could fulfill the 613 mitzvot myself by doing them. Wow, that's a tall order. That's too much, Rabbi. You can't do that. It doesn't exist. Because that would be the best option. I got very excited because I was reading a book called Chovot HaLevavot, Duties of the Heart. It's written by a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Bachya. He writes in the beginning of the book, in Sha'ar Avodat Elokim, a principle. It's worth noting this principle down. He says, everything in this world can be classified either as a mitzvah or an avera. Everything is either a good deed or a bad deed. There's no such thing as you're doing something that's pav. Sometimes you're just sitting doing nothing. You say, what are you doing? You're doing mitzvot? No, I'm not doing any mitzvot. You're doing averot? I'm not doing any averot either. What are you doing? I'm just doing nothing. Daydreaming. I'm just sitting doing nothing. He said, there's no such thing. Every act that you do from when you wake up in the morning, that means when you're scrambling the eggs, and when you're putting a kid on a bus, and when you're going shopping, and when you're driving a car, no matter what you're doing in your life, every single action will fall into one of the mitzvot or one of the averot. When I saw that, that got me thinking. I said, what are you talking about? Okay, it's beracha, it's beracha. It got me thinking, how is it possible that everything I'm doing is either a mitzvah or avera? There's only 365 averot and there's 248 mitzvot. I'm not always doing one of the 248. I'm not always doing one of the 365. Listen to the real explanation. And I saw this brought down in Sefarim. It's not my interpretation. You have to broaden your understanding of mitzvot. You see, most of us look at the mitzvot as the specific mitzvah that God commanded us. Do this, this, this. And then you say, well, it doesn't apply today, so I can't do it. It's wrong. You have to look at the mitzvot and say, what does God want? Why does He want me to do this mitzvah? What's the reason why God would give me this mitzvah? You have to look at not only the actual mitzvah, but the concept that the mitzvah represents. And then you say to yourself, well, I cannot fulfill the mitzvah like the Torah says, but can I fulfill the concept that this mitzvah represents? The concept of the mitzvah is related to the mitzvah, and it's the mitzvah. Can I explain in this example? Okay, please. The Gemara says, there's a mitzvah to pour wine on the mizbeach. Every day they used to pour wine on the mizbeach. It's called nisuch hayayin. They did it. You'll never do it, I'll never do it. Even when they built the Beit HaMikdash, I'll never do it, because I'm not a Kohen. But the Torah says, Hasech, Nesech, Shechal, Hashem. They did it every single day. If you open up Maimonides, he counts it as one of the 613 mitzvot. To take wine and pour it on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, Harotzeh lenasech yayin ala Mizbeach. If somebody wants to pour wine on the Mizbeach, what's the concept of the mitzvah? The Mizbeach represents God's table. And you're bringing a gift to God. Wine is considered the most important of all the drinks. So you're giving God a gift. Today in this world, who would represent the Mizbeah? The Tamid Chacham. So somebody that goes and gives a rabbi or a Tamid Chacham a bottle of wine. Or more than that, he pours a bottle of wine, Rabbi Nahayim. That's considered as if you fulfilled Nisuch HaYayin on the Mizbeah. Don't buy me wine. Don't buy me any gifts. And that's not my intention, God forbid. Oh, don't come next week and say, Rabbi, we bought you a bottle of wine. I'm not asking for wine. I'm just giving an example that the Gemara is telling you. Gemara is telling you that this nisuch, because it's the same concept. It's the same concept. You're bringing a gift to God. The men of God in this generation supposedly are the rabbis who teach the word of God. So I cannot bring it to this direct God, I bring it to the emissary of God. Look at this. So the next time you give Mishloach Manot, you make sure one of your Mishloach Manot goes to a rabbi, and there's wine in it. And you think to yourself, Nisuch HaYayin, Yisrucha Yair, you don't have to make an announcement. Oh, Yisrucha Yair, it's all in the brain. But now you fulfill this mitzvah. And guess what? You don't need a Beit HaMikdash. You don't need to be a Kohen. You can be a lady. Doesn't matter. You get credit for the Teriyag Mitzvot. Doesn't matter. Because when you're doing it in this way, it applies to everybody. Because although the direct action of the mitzvah might only apply to the specific Kohen, but the concept of the mitzvah applies to everybody. That's a Jewish concept. So now you understand. Take another mitzvah. And whatever I'm telling you is mitzvot that I saw written in books that they make these connections. There's a mitzvah that says, if you see your friend riding his donkey, like I said, riding away, you know, that's never going to happen. We're not Bedouins, we don't see donkeys. But the Torah says he has his donkey, and the donkey is laden with goods. And he needs help to unload the donkey. So there's a mitzvah to help him unload the donkey. To help him, to alleviate the burden. The Gemara says there's two mitzvot over here. Number one, you're helping the donkey, because the donkey also is a creation of God, and he's suffering with the big load on the back. So you're alleviating the pain of the donkey, and you're helping the person. Instead of him breaking his back doing it himself, you're helping him. Again. So you say, oh, Rabbi, I don't see donkeys, I don't see things like this. But go with the concept. The concept is that you see somebody has a heavy burden, it's a mitzvah to alleviate it. Now somebody comes to you, and you're very busy, and you tell them, how you doing? You mean to say, meaning I'm busy, how you doing means you want them to say fine, and then you walk away. And they took you literally. Oh, don't ask. Oh, no. And they start to tell you all their problems. And they start to tell you all their ailments. At that moment over there, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of alleviating of someone of their burden. Because one way to alleviate is let them get it out. Let them talk it out. So you fulfill the mitzvah at that point. You did nothing. You're just listening. You're giving them 3.5 minutes of time just to hear them complain and talk. And after they finish, they don't ask you for advice. They say, I feel better already. Why do you feel better? I had to say it to somebody. That's a way to fulfill the mitzvah of helping somebody take a load off their donkey. So you see, you don't have to fulfill the actual mitzvah itself. Now, I have to be very careful what I'm saying. Don't now misinterpret me and say, oh, so this means I don't really have to keep Shabbat. I'll just figure out a concept of Shabbat and I'll just be a conceptual Jew. God forbid. If you could fulfill the mitzvah, you have to fulfill the mitzvah. I'm talking about mitzvot that are impossible for you to come by. Then you have to figure out what's the message behind the mitzvah and try to connect yourself to something that's related. And I'm telling you that the mitzvot have a very big parameter. There's the action and then a lot of subsidiaries of the mitzvah that are connected to this mitzvah. And that's what Rabbeinu Bachya meant when he said everything you're going to do in life could be classified into a mitzvah box or into an avera box. But you'll say, I don't see this mitzvah in the Torah. Yeah, it's in the tributaries. It's in one of the roots that come out of the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah represents concepts. And if you hold on to the root of a mitzvah, you get the full credit of the mitzvah. That's Baal Shem Tov said. Baal Shem Tov once said, there's two ways of holding on to a tree. I can go to the trunk and embrace the tree and hold on to it. That's, you're really holding on to the tree. Or there's another way. I can take a shovel and dig all the way deep in the ground. And there's one root. It's a very, very thin root. A small root that's coming. And I hold on to the root. Well, if you're holding on to the root, electricity, you're holding on to the whole tree. Because the root and the tree are connected. And therefore, when you hold on to one root of the mitzvah, you're connected to the whole entire mitzvah itself. And the concepts of the mitzvah are the roots of the mitzvah. And therefore, really, it would be a great idea for somebody to write a book. I'm too busy for it. But to write a book to explain us the concept of every mitzvah. Good news, we have the book already. It's called Sefer HaChinuch. There's a rabbi that lived 1,000 years ago. He wrote all the 613 mitzvot, and he gave us the rationale behind what each mitzvah represents. Once you understand the logic, somebody came to me once and asked me, Rabbi, there's a mitzvah if you have a field. You're supposed to leave the corner of your field for the poor people. That mitzvah is called Pe'ah. Very good. But today we have no fields, we don't do this mitzvah, it doesn't happen. So that's it, scratch it off, we're back to 612. So I don't know, what's the concept? The concept is that God says whenever you're involved in physical, you have to leave a little for God. You cannot take everything for yourself, you have to remember there's God in the world. And how do you remember there's God in the world? You leave a little. Now you go to a wedding. And you make yourself a plate like a big field of food. And you're eating the field, you're eating it, you're eating it. Leave the corner of the plate. Leave the corner of the plate. There's no mitzvah that you have to eat the whole plate. Leave a little of the field. Oh, and now you're saying to God, I didn't come to this world to eat everything. Leave a little. As if to say, there's more than eating. Oh, so now you did pe'ah without having a field. You don't have to have a degree in farming. You don't have to be, get your hands dirty. Simple, leave a little on your plate, that's pe'ah. But Rabbi, that's not what it says in the Torah. That's the concept. And there's hundreds of examples. The Torah says, I'm not going to give you 100, I'll give you one more. Torah says, you're not allowed to serve foreign gods. You say to yourself, I'm not going to do that. That's not my item, I don't serve foreign gods. It doesn't even enter my mind to serve foreign gods. But the Gemara says, anybody that gets angry, it's as if they worship Avodah Zarah. Oh, angry, I know what angry is. So now we're ready, the next time somebody has a Yitzhak to get angry, and you suppress that anger, you have now fulfilled, do not go after foreign gods. You'll tell your friend today, I'm very proud of myself. Why are you proud of yourself? I didn't do Avodah Zarah today. I didn't do Avodah Zarah today. You're proud of yourself? What do you mean you didn't do Avodah Zarah today? I don't mean bowing down to idols. Of course not. I almost got angry and I caught myself. And Hakamim say, that's like, so you're not doing the actual mitzvah as it was written, but you're connected to the, why does anger have to do with Avodah Zarah? Because if you believe that everything happens from God, nothing gets you angry. If you believe 100% in Hashem, no matter what happens to you, you're going to say, Hashem did this to me. What am I getting angry for? But we get angry. That implies that you don't believe that this was from Hashem. Oh, so who was it from? Must be those other energies. Ah, so you see it's connected. Although it's not direct. It's the hidden part of the mitzvah. And go on to all the mitzvot and you'll see it's possible. And that doesn't mean if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of the lottery of the Kohen Gadol, you should go buy a lottery ticket. You need to figure out the concept, what it represents, not just mimicking the actual action. You see why I like this theory better out of all the theories that I proposed today? Because now I can do all the 613 mitzvot myself. I don't need to rely on his yibum and his peter habor, and I don't want, as if I did it, I want to do it myself. And therefore it's possible to do all the 613 yourself. You just need to study the rationale behind all the laws. And that's the depth of what the Pasuk means. Shiviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid. God is in front of me constantly. Yudke Vatke is in front of me constantly. Didn't I tell you already that the word mitzvah is really yudke bavke? Therefore, God is always in front of me, because no matter what I'm doing, it's always in the realm of a mitzvah. Shiviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid. Not only when I'm doing the physical mitzvah, But I'm doing things that are related to a Torah concept. Yudke Vavke is always in front of me. That means the mitzvah is always in front of me. If I got to this point, I now understand what I started today's class with. I told you that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ze shemi le'olam, veze zichri le'dor dor. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance for the generations. Could you take the word shemi? What I'm telling you now is the Zohar HaKadosh. Take the word shemi, shin mem yud. Shin is 300, mem yud is 50. That's a shame. I wish it would equal 365, because that's the number of negative commandment. It only equals 350. But if you take the first two letters of God's name, Yud-Ke, Yud-He is 15. If you add 15, the Yud-Ke, to the word Shemi, now you have 365. Now let's take the word Zichri. Well, Zichri Zayin Chaf is 27, and Resh is 200, that's 227, and Yud is 237. It's a shame, I wish it was 248. I'm missing 11. If you take the second two letters of God's name, Vavhe, that's 11. If you add Vavhe to Zichri, you get 248. God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Zeshemi represents the negative commandments. 350 plus Yudke. And this is my remembrance that refers to the positive commandments, 237 plus Vavheh. And together when you fulfill all the mitzvot, you connect to Yudke, Vavke, Shemiti, Adonai, and Vitamid. But what does it mean, Zeshemi Le'olam? If you look at the word Le'olam, Rashi points this out. This is not what I'm saying, as Rashi says. Le'olam is missing a Vav. It can be read Le'alam. The word Le'alam means hidden. God is saying, sometimes you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvot in their explicit manner. Zeshemi le'alam. Sometimes you're going to need to fulfill the mitzvot in their hidden manner, in the hidden message that lies behind the mitzvah. And as a result, zechri le'dor dor. That's the way you can fulfill the mitzvot in every generation. Now, by fulfilling the concept of the law, you're not limited to fulfilling the mitzvah only when there's a temple, only when you're in Israel, only if you're a man, only if you're a kohen. No. Zeshemi le'alam, when you fulfill the mitzvot in their secretive, hidden messages, which we would call the concept behind the law, then it becomes zezichri le'dor dor. That's how you make the mitzvot applicable at all times. And this is right away what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu before he even takes the Jews out of Egypt. Because he knows that the Jews are going to say, we can't keep the 613. God tells them right away, you can't keep the 613. But in order to fulfill this, you need to study the mitzvot. You see, most people, they can't list more than 20 or 30 mitzvot. If you would give most Jews a test, list the 613 commandments. They wouldn't be able to. They probably would be able to list 613 songs, 613 different type of foods, 613 destinations, 613 models of cars, 613 types of whatever, which is important, I'm sure. But mitzvot, the mitzvot is the whole reason why we came down to this world. So it's incumbent to study the mitzvot. Advice? Take it for what it's worth. They have the book Sefer HaChinuch. We have it. We have the book. It's called Sefer HaChinuch. They make it in English. They make it in Hebrew. They make it in every language today. You can go to the store. You can buy the book. It costs $15. On Friday night at the table, he tells you every mitzvah that's in every parasha. It goes by parasha. So you open up the book, Bereshit. Page one, he says, oh, Bereshit, there's one mitzvah in Bereshit. Peru Urvu, having children. So you read it. Everybody, there's mitzvah in the Torah, Peru Urvu, having children. But then you have to know all. Let's say a person, God forbid, cannot have children. Also, he loses this mitzvah, but he makes a shiduch. He made a shiduch, which means he enabled somebody else to have children by making a shiduch. Or he paid for somebody's fertility treatment. Or he paid for 101 ways to fulfill it. So you got it. Okay. Parashat Noah. Kids, you're off talk. There's no mitzvot in Parashat Noah. Do whatever you want. Go run around. You get the parashat. Lech lecha. There's one mitzvah. Brit Milah. Okay, Brit Milah. You're talking about Brit Milah. Then you get the parashat Vayishlah, the mitzvah of Gid HaNasheh. You cannot allow to eat the sciatic vein, the sirloin steak over there. There's only three mitzvot in the whole book of Bereshit. So basically, you don't have too much to talk about. But now, once you open up the book of Shemot, now the mitzvot start coming, a dozen in this parashah, a dozen in next week's parashah. Shemot happens to have no mitzvot, so you're off the hook this week. Va'era also has no mitzvot. Wow. When did the mitzvot start? Once you start with Va'era, or Bo, wait. Da, Boz, Bishalach, Yitro, and then every week it tells you the names of it. So at least you'll be familiar of what your religion, what Judaism is built on. Judaism is not only built on kosher food and eating matzah and Pesach. That's only two famous ones. But there's a lot of, and I'm not telling you to study it for the mitzvah. You should study this book because he gives you the rationale behind it. Then you can ask your children, how could we fulfill this mitzvah by not doing it, by doing something else? How do we fulfill this mitzvah in spirit? Not tefillin. Tefillin, if your boy is bar mitzvah, he has to put on tefillin. There's no spirit of the law when it comes to that. But when it comes to other mitzvot, now you can challenge your brain. There's a law in the mitzvah, this I heard from Rabbi Chaim Sanz, and then I'll conclude, I'll make one announcement, I'll let you go. There's a law in the by a Kohen, it says. He wears a choshen. Choshen is the breastplate. The breastplate of a Kohen looked like this. It was actually a square with all stones. It says, the choshen he put on his heart. Let's put it right over here. It's like a tablet that came down on it. And it says, underneath it was an ephod. Ephod is like a robe. And the choshen would sit on his heart on the ephod. And it says the choshen should not move from the ephod. The choshen and the ephod, the robe should be fixed. It shouldn't move around. Okay. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah that the Kohen must make sure that the choshen doesn't move from the ephod. Velo yizaha, choshen na ephod. Go do that now. So what does that mean? You have to button your chair. How do you do this? So I heard one of the rabbis, he said, the choshen represents the heart of the Kohen because it rests on his heart. The ephod, which is the apron that he's wearing, the numerical value of ephod is aleph peh dalet, which is 85, which is the numerical value of peh. Peh is a mouth. The heart and the mouth should always be consistent. That a person shouldn't say one thing and mean another thing. Wow, that I can do. At least I have a chance to do it. And every time a person is honest and he says what he means and he's not two-faced and he speaks the truth and his peh and his lev are equal, he fulfilled v'lo yizach ha-choshen, which is the heart, min ha-ephod, which is gematria peh. Now, of course, you need great rabbis to come up with these connections. I'm not capable yet. But there's enough in the Sefer HaChinuch or other Sefarim that give you this idea. Hence, the 613 mitzvot still apply, and that's what God said. Zeh Shemi. Shemi is 350 plus Yudke, 365. Le'olam. But sometimes you have to do the concealed part of the mitzvah. Zeh Zechri is 237 plus the Vavke. Now it's 248. Ne'dor dor. And by this way you can fulfill the mitzvot for all of the generations. With this I bid you a Shabbat Shalom and all the blessings. Amen.